Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the life of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take the word that we hear and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation, for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you, Father, that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father God, we thank you most of all for the anointing that's present tonight, that anointing that just changed us, and that anointing that just makes everything okay. We thank you that anointing is here, and we just stir it up tonight. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad and the pilots and the airplane crew as they're there traveling and all throughout Europe. We thank you for many lives being touched, many lives being healed, people being set free. We thank you for great testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. And we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Just want to let you know, once again, dad and mom, you may be seated. I'm sorry. Dad and mom just texted right before I came out here, and they said they just landed in Newfoundland, which is the easternmost province of Canada. And actually, in North America, I believe it's the most eastern airport in North America. In fact, during 9/11, some of the planes that were coming to North America actually landed there in Newfoundland there. And so they always stop there to fuel up, and they're going to spend the night there. And then they're headed to London, England from there. And I'm not sure exactly about, I might not be giving you the proper itinerary. I'm telling you where they're going to go. I'm not sure if it's an order that they're going, okay? But they're going from London, England, I believe, then they're going to Croatia. They're visiting the church that I was there in Croatia. Then they're going to Sicily. They're also going to Malta, they're going to Albania, and they're going to two different cities in Greece, both Athens and Thessalonica, and I think that's all everywhere else they're going. So, but they're going to be gone for about 13 days. I'm not sure how many meetings they're going to do. Now, my parents are a little different than I am. Now, when I go overseas, I do speak quite a bit, but they hardly ever take a day off. I like to take some days off. Now, I do know in Greece they're going to take some days off and visit Philippi and some of the places that Paul ministered there in Greece. And I guess when they go to Malta, I guess they're going to go visit where Paul was there in Malta. But for the most part, they're doing a lot of healing meetings, meeting with a lot of Rhema alumni. We have almost 85,000 Rhema alumni around the world. And so we're excited about what God's doing. And so, continues to get better and better. So just keep them in prayer. I mean, they are getting older. We have to understand, when you're older, I mean, I feel I'm old. I mean, I'm not even 50 yet, all right? But when you're older, it takes a little bit more out of you, especially when you're traveling like that. In fact, the reason they're spending the night in Newfoundland is because one time, and I was with them, we did the all-night thing, and so we landed in Europe at like 8 in the morning. And then, obviously because my parents are my parents, we just didn't take the day off. We just started hit the ground running at 8 a.m. We did some sightseeing and stuff like that. And so it wore them out, and they never got used to this time change. So every time they go overseas, they always stay, spend the night, and then kind of work their strategy that way or whatever. I don't know. I like to just get there. I don't care how it is. I like to get there and I'll figure out the sleep once I get there, And sometimes it is kind of weird whenever. In fact, they say it takes 13 days to get actually used to a time zone. So when you're over to, in the time zone for 13 days, then it's almost hard to get back. And now I'm stupid enough that what I did one year is every 13 days I went to a different time zone. So, one year I went 12 hours one way, And then 13 days, I stayed there for 13 days, and 14 days later, I went 9 hours the other way, and then I only was there for a few days, and then I came back home, and 14 days later, I went back the other way. So, you know, but I'm stupid, so that's, you know. Anyway, you know, what's kind of been on my mind the last few days is probably the same thing that's been on your mind the last few days, especially last night, is the storms of life. You know, I know that you guys had quite a bit of destruction around here, and that same storm system came up through the Tulsa area and actually right through the middle of town, and you know, didn't do too much damage, but there's trees down everywhere, and now, you know, there were some trailers flipped over, and I still haven't figured out why people live in trailer parks, you know, in Oklahoma, but I mean, if you live in one, more power to you. I guess you have more faith than I do, but anyway. You know, it is kind of interesting because someone put this on Facebook today. He goes, you know, he said that it's interesting because almost every one of my friends said they were almost hit by a tornado, and said the closest tornado, it was like 2 miles from his house. But you know, even when there's not actually a tornado, there are strong winds, you know, and so I'm sure many of you probably had some strong winds, and we're dealing with a lot of flooding up in Tulsa area. If you saw Muskogee, I mean, they're almost underwater there in Muskogee because of the way it works there. And the Arkansas River, they have like two areas that come together, and so it's pretty bad. But, you know, let's look at the Bible has something to say about the storms, and we read it every once in a while, but I'm going to read from Mark chapter 4, whenever Jesus calmed the storms, in Mark 4, 35, and many of you might have been doing the same thing last night. Mark 4, 35, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, says this: "As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross over to the other side of the lake.'" So, you know, the most important thing here is that Jesus spoke. All right, when Jesus speaks, then, you know, it works. It's kind of like some of you that are older might remember the commercial about E.F. Hutton. You know, you said whenever he speaks, you know, anyone remember that commercial? Anyone old as I am? All right, if you're not old enough, just Google it. I'm sure you can probably look at the commercial or whatever. But when Jesus speaks, things happen. And Jesus gave a command, you know, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. Now, you know, it is interesting, and we talked about the other day, on Mother's Day, you know, remember whenever Jesus did his first miracle, basically his mom told the people, the servants there, says, do whatever he tells you. Because, you know, he has power, he has authority. And so really, you know, if the disciples would have listened to his command, they wouldn't have got all worked up. You know, because he said, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. Notice he didn't say, let us go to the middle of the lake and drown. He didn't say that. You know, he didn't say, let us get to the middle of the lake and be destroyed. He said, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. So, you know, when you have storms, you need to be sure to cross over to the other side. He said, you know, I'm going to go the other side. I'm going to get through this situation. Now, obviously, a storm's not always a physical storm like last night. Sometimes a storm is what we call a storm of life. You know, in a situation you're like, you don't have a lot of control over. And it seems like there are a lot of situations we don't have a lot of control over. Or sometimes we have situations that we had a lot of control over because we made some bad financial decisions at one point in time. Now we don't have a lot of control what's happening now. But all we need to know is that, you know what? Jesus is still with us. In fact, it says in the word that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Because, you know, the one thing about the disciples, you know, one advantage that they had was Jesus was in their boat. But see, Jesus is always with you. He'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. He's always in your boat. And you need to realize that whenever you see a storm, you realize you're not facing the storm alone. Whether it's a physical, actual, natural storm like we had last night, or if it's what we call the storms of life, you're not by yourself. You have somebody to call on that's greater than you are. His name is Jesus. Now, he was in the boat with them. He's always in your boat. You know, a lot of times we forget about Jesus. You know, I know it's hard to forget about Jesus. You're thinking, well, man, we just had Easter. How can you forget about Jesus? But, you know, it seems that when struggles and trials and situations come, we forget about who we are in Christ Jesus. We forget about that the greater one's on the inside of us. You know, because we're so busy looking at the external situations that are coming your way. You know, as you watch, I mean, some, I don't know what chasing you watch, but if I was here in Oklahoma City, I would watch David Payne. All right, we watched Travis Meyer in Tulsa. You know, if, as you're watching the weatherman, whoever your favorite weatherman is, doing all those storm trackers, you realize that they have no power. All they're doing is predicting. All right, they have no real power. All right, but we know the one who has the real power. All right, and has the whole thing under control. You know, they're not controlling the storms. They're just telling you what's happening. You know, I mean, they don't, you know, have any control. Now, I happen to know Travis Meyer personally, our weatherman in Tulsa, and he's a good Christian brother, and I know he knows how to pray. But you know, he doesn't talk about that when he's on you know, except for maybe he might tell people, hey, if you know someone in the area, you know, or be praying for these people who live in that area or something like that. But you know, it is also interesting because I know where he lives. And it's funny to see him. I see him cringe whenever he's talking about the system tornado coming toward his house. In fact, the other day he actually admitted, he goes, well, you know, I have family members over there. I knew it was him, but I knew family members was actually his immediate family. But it is interesting because, you know, when you know where somebody lives. Now, the other side about it was a little scary. He lives real close to me too. So that, you know, so anytime something's coming close to the weatherman's house, he's also close to my house too. So, but, you know, the thing about it is we always need to know that who's with us at all the time. And that's Jesus Christ. He's always with us. And you know, in this situation, obviously, he was with them in person. You know, and a lot of people think, well, man, I sure wish I lived in Bible days, you know, to be right with Jesus. You know, the thing about it is we have it so much better. We don't have to go find him. He's already with us. I mean, we don't have to, you know, look for him or whatever. We don't even have to get on the cell phone and call him or text him or whatever. All we have to do is just call out. He's always there. It says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Anyway, so it says, so in verse 36, so they took Jesus in the boat and started out leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. You know, because every time Jesus went anywhere, everybody else wanted to follow him. I'm not sure some of these guys were pretty smart following him on this one, but, you know, other also, too, you have to realize that some people might want to know, well, why'd they even get into the lake if they knew a storm was coming? You realize that they didn't have Doppler radar like we have today? I mean, you know, all they had was, you know, they one of the disciples going in the front of the boat and said, well, how's the weather look? Well, it looks okay. Let's go. You know, I mean, you know, we don't realize the technology we have. And sometimes I think we have too much technology. Because I don't know about, you know, around here, but I know, you know, here in Tulsa, at least this last few days, you know, used to we could only really detect rotation when it was on the ground. Now we catch it in the air. So they've been, I mean, one day my tornado sirens went off, you know, for 30 minutes at a time, like four different times, you know, and according to the news, there was no real rotation close to the ground, but I guess it was in the sky. So now, you know, it's like the little boy that cries wolf. You know, the more they sound the alarms, it's like, well, it's not that big a deal, you know, because I'm watching the weatherman, so it's kind of ways away or whatever. So, you know, so sometimes too much technology is a bad thing, you know. But and then some people think we're crazy for living here in Oklahoma too. It's funny because people want to know, well, what's it really like? I said, watch the movie Twister. I said, now there are a few things that are a little bit, you know, embellished there. But if you want to know what it's like in Oklahoma, just watch Twister. All right, you know, and. You know, it is kind of funny that, you know, in Oklahoma, the weathermen are like the most famous, you know, newscasters on TV. You know, you guys have been, we've been binge watching the weathermen the last few days. I mean, it's like every time we turn on. In fact, the one day when we didn't have any storms, I was kind of, you know, upset there was real TV on. It wasn't the weathermen. So, you know, I'm joking. I really wasn't that upset. You know. All right. Anyway, so here's these boats following Jesus in his boat. But it says, but soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. So understand your situation. They're in a boat. You know, it's one thing to see waves that are hitting the boat, you know, and I know I was on a cruise ship a couple years ago, and we hit some pretty big waves. In fact, it was rocking the boat pretty well on the way back to the Galveston, and the captain already had told us it was going to, and it was interesting because some people were getting seasick. And in fact, there was a comedy show that we were at, and all of a sudden this one guy, he's sitting in the front, he takes off running. I mean, it's not funny, but it was, takes off running. And so the comedian goes, am I really that bad? And so the family member said, no, he was getting sick. He was about to throw up. So he didn't want to do it all. He goes, well, I'm glad he went running. So, but it was rocking pretty, quite a bit. You know, in fact, I felt sorry for the people who were drunk. I'm trying to think, I can't walk a straight line, and I don't know how these people are even making it out here, because I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise ship, but there are some people on that cruise ship. In fact, we happened to go with spring break time, and I think half the people from University of Oklahoma actually went on our cruise ship. There was yelling Boomer Sooner all over the place, and it was, and all these young kids, they were consuming a lot of alcohol, so, the good thing about it is, no one could tell because they're walking normal. they're in a kind of a small boat. They're not in a big cruise liner that's made, we did have high winds, but, there's people like me out on the deck watching the thing, because we weren't worried about the water coming into the cruise liner because, it would take a lot of water. If it was going to come in the cruise liner, I wouldn't be out there, guarantee you that. But this water was coming into the boat. So I get it why the disciples were kind of scared, But remember, Jesus was with them in the boat, and he said, let's go over to the other side of the lake. But it's windy, and the water's coming in. So what's Jesus doing? Verse 38, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? See, we always teach you can have what you say. What did they just say? We are going to drown. All right, so obviously they have a hearing problem because Jesus had already said, let's go the other side of the lake. Now, he didn't say, let's go to the middle of the lake and drown. And I get it. You have to understand, if you were there, they don't know history when they're there. They're making history. We know the rest of the story. We know prophecy. We know, we've read it all, but they don't realize what they're in the middle of, because if they knew all the prophecy, they're like, we got Jesus with us. We're no problem for us. They didn't realize who was with them. But what's really more amazing is that we don't realize who's with us when we should know who's with us. We already know it. We've seen the history. I get it. It's a little bit different. Let's just imagine all of us were on a boat with Jesus. Jesus Christ in person, not some actor playing Jesus, okay? We're talking about the real man. Because of what we know, and because we know, how powerful and he is, I don't think any of us would care, even if they'll be sleeping, even though there's a storm, because, Jesus said it. It's kind of like, when you play Simon Says, if Simon says it, it's good enough. If Simon doesn't say it, there's a problem. But if Simon says it, so when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, we're going to the other side. Some people say this, and most pastors wouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. Some people say, come hell or high water, we're getting through it. And you all understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to cuss you. I'm just saying it doesn't matter what's coming our way. When you have Jesus, you're going to make it through the storm. No matter what it looks like, no matter if it feels like you're almost drowning, see, you need to be able to confess what will happen, not what you feel like is happening. It's not about how we feel, it's about what we know. And see, they were feeling like they were going to drown. But if they knew the power that Jesus had, they weren't going to drown. They were going to make it. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to make it through your storm. Right. You're going to make it through your situation. But you know, it is interesting though, was so here we are in verse 39, after they said, well, Jesus, you don't even care, we're going to drown. 39 says, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asks them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? So, you know, his thing is he got mad at his disciples because they were afraid. You know, and I'm not saying that God's getting mad at you, but sometimes I wonder, you know, I put myself and think about if I was God, if I was Jesus, I might be a little upset at my children. Why are you so worried about a little storm when you have Jesus? He's not only in your boat, he's in your life. I mean, you know, we say he lives in our heart. He lives with us. He's always with us. So why are we afraid? How can you be afraid of a little storm? And I'm, you know, whether it's a physical storm, whether it's a mental storm, whether it's an emotional storm, whether it's a financial storm, I don't care what storm it is. You know, some people, you know, and, you know, here in Oklahoma, you know, we like to rate our storms. You know, it is interesting. Oh, you know, that was only an F2. You know, you'll say, well, I went through a couple of F5s and, you know, I made it. You know, you only had an F2. Yeah, but tell it, you know, if a guy's house gets destroyed, it's only an F2. Who cares? His house got destroyed. All right. But you know, we. If you go watch all these kind of, you know, these documentaries or whatever, you know, they want to put the big storms out there, you know, the F5s. In the same way, hurricanes, you have category 5, 4, 3, 2, 1s. And then you know, that's hurricanes. And then it can go even, a tropical storm is even less than that. You know, we like to categorize everything. You know, and sometimes, you know, we even kind of make fun of people and said, well, it's not that, you know, it's only a category 2 storm you're going through. I'm going through a category 5. You know, it doesn't matter how big the storm is. It doesn't matter what category it is. What matters is who's in your boat and the power that we have to calm the storms. You know, Jesus said, do you still have no faith? Do you still have, then the disciples were absolutely terrified. It says, who is this man? They ask each other, even the winds and waves obey him. I mean, they were mesmerized that the storm was calmed. But the thing is you have to have faith. Now, do you realize that we read this, but if you go a few pages further to Mark chapter 11, he talks about how we can calm our own storms. Now, in this situation, he uses the word mountain, but you could use the word storm. And see, Mark 11, I like to read 22 first. That's my favorite verse. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And the thing is, we have to understand, you're not going to calm your storm. God is. The first situation is you have to put your faith in God. In God we trust, like it says on your money, right? Then the next thing it goes on to say, I'm reading from the New King James here. It says, for assuredly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, or we can say whoever says to this storm, be removed and be cast in the sea, or just be gone, you know, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Do you realize that we have the power to speak to our storms? Whether it's a physical storm, whether it's a financial storm, whatever storm it is, we have that power to speak to our storms. Just like you have the power to speak to the storm that's coming towards your house. You know, and my dad talked about this this morning. My grandfather was ministering down in South Texas at a church there close to the Gulf of Mexico. And there was a hurricane coming in. So him and the pastor got in the front yard and began to rebuke the storm. And they said, you know, it was interesting because, you know, once again, you know, this is probably in the 70s. You know, technology isn't what it is now. They can't. But they said, you know, the storm just moved track. It moved. And it didn't hit them. But it still came in. It hit another area. So some of the pastors from that other area later on talked to my grandfather and said, well, why'd you send it our way? He says, we just told not to hit us. See, they didn't have any authority of where to send it. All they're trying to do is, you know, if you want to send it away from you, then you need to speak up. You know, and a lot of times, too, we want somebody else to speak to our storms. We're looking for, you know, pastor, please speak to my storm. You know, or your mama, or your daddy, or somebody. You know what? You need to step up and speak to your own storm. You got to step up and speak to your own storm. You know, a lot of people, instead of speaking to the storm, they just go hide in the basement. Right. I mean, you know, literally, I get it. But figuratively, sometimes too, when it comes to a storm coming in and we have bills piling up, we just go hide. Well, maybe it's going to pass. Maybe if I get under enough mattresses or enough blankets or whatever, I got my tornado helmet on, which that's a new thing. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have helmets. They said, you know, cover your neck with your hands. Now they're like, go to the store, buy a bicycle helmet. And it's funny because I saw pictures of kids with their bicycle helmets on, laying in the bathroom, you know, different things. So it is interesting. And so I actually tried a tornado helmet on the other day. I was at Walmart and whatever the weatherman was saying, but you should get a tornado helmet. So I saw a bike helmet that had like this little mohawk thing, like a rubber thing on top. I'm like, this would be a great tornado helmet. I didn't buy it, you know, but I did put it on and took a picture, you know, just so I know what I looked like in it. I look like an absolute goof, but I guess it would work, you know. And now, you know, the thing is that we have power to speak to our storms, you know, and I get it. I understand that it can be a scary thing when you hear storms are headed your way, but you know what? You should do something about it when they're miles away from you. You know, a lot of people are waiting until it gets close. Do you realize now the technology we have? I know on one of the storms they were, it came through later in our, you know, where we are in Tulsa than it did here, Oklahoma City. So, you know, about 12:30, they were tracking the storm and they said it was going to come through my area about 12:48. Well, I had like 18 minutes. So what I do, I spoke to the storm and you know what? It didn't come my way, but it still came through town. You know, and it moved. Now, the great thing about it is Greg and I, we live a couple miles apart and right on the same storm track. So he was, you know, speaking to it too. So we sent it over to Cliff's house over, you know, not really, but it diverted. It was coming our way and it kind of diverted. You know, and basically it did come through Tulsa, but it was kind of hit and miss. I mean, it did a lot of damage to trees and power lines and things. And then there was a few trailers that got rolled over and things like that, but nothing major. Like some you guys had some major things here in El Reno, especially, and you guys that are from Oklahoma, I mean, we're all just used to it. And I know it's kind of interesting because, my son just moved. He bought his first new house and he's all excited. And, you know, my son races a race car. Well, one of his neighbors moved from California, has a race car, and they met each other. And so this is his first tornado season in Oklahoma. And he's been scared out of his wits and, you know, not sure that he made the right move. You know, he moved here in February, and February things were pretty, you know, pretty good. And winter wasn't too bad. And tornado season hit for him. And, you know, it's funny because they've had three that's gone pretty close to their neighborhood. And I told Cameron, I said, well, tell them, you know, come to my house because it's not going to hit my house. It might hit yours, but it won't hit mine. So I said, that's what you need to tell him. So you just come over here. It won't hit my house because he knows how to speak to the storm. You know, and we need, but not just physical storms. We got to speak to the storms of life. You know, there are so many times that we go through storms. And, you know, first of all, we got to recognize that it is a storm. Sometimes we're in the middle of a, you know, spiritual tornado. We don't even realize it's even hitting us. You know, we don't have our weatherman telling us, hey, you know, but we really do because we have an inward witness on the inside. You know, and but a lot of times, you know, we just wait. I mean, I know financially it's you know, a lot of times you realize early on in the month, you know, let's just make a statement. So let's just say you're going through a month and all of a sudden you're driving your car one day, you're out here on Northwest Highway and car breaks down and take it to the shop and you need a new transmission. Well, you know what? That costs money. Well, they say, well, you know, I have money, so, you know, because I just got paid. So you buy that new transmission and smile about it and be happy about it. But you might understand, well, since you spent that extra money on a new transmission, you know, later on in the month, you might have some issues. You know, but it's funny because I know people and I got a degree in accounting. So sometimes people come talk to me about their money issues. And I have people, you know what, for some reason it doesn't hit them. They just spent $500 extra that month and, you know, it's not on their budget. And it doesn't hit them until like 2 weeks later that they don't have money for the rest of, you know, to buy food and all this stuff. You know, whenever an issue happens, when a storm happens, take authority of that point in time. Now, I'm not saying don't fix your transmission. I'm saying, you know what? You need to say, Lord, I need extra money. A storm happened that I didn't know about it. You know what? But I know that you're in control. I know you take care of me. You know, don't wait. Speak to your storm whenever, as soon as you know about it, start speaking to your storm. You know, you know, you have to understand that the Spirit of the living God's on the inside of you. You know, and I know a lot of people, like I said, a lot of people last night were pretty scared. You know, and the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You know, fear only comes from the devil. And realize the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Which is kind of like a tornado. You know, so you understand tornadoes don't come from God, they come from the devil. Anything, you know, any kind of storm of life doesn't come from God. Now, I don't care if your insurance company says it was an act of God, there are liars. All right, but if they're going to pay for it, don't worry about it. Let them be a liar, okay? You know, don't take, you know, if they're going to pay for your situation, take the money and call them a liar afterwards. You know, because God doesn't destroy. God protects. You know, and we have to understand, we have to be able to take our authority when we see the storm. But it's not up to me to take authority over your storm. Whether it's your, now if you happen to be, if it's a physical storm and you happen to live close to me, then I'm going to take authority over your storm because you realize in this situation when they're both, they're all in the same boat. So taking authority over that storm protected everybody. But you know what? You have a lot of storms that I don't have. And I might have storms that you don't have. And it's your responsibility to take care of your own storms. But I'm here to tell you the devil is going to keep bringing storms. That's what he does. He's there to steal, to kill, and destroy. And in fact, the New Living Translation says of John 10:10, he says that his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, as we live in the last days, you know, we're going to have more and more things happen. You know, it talks about wars and rumors of wars and famines and, you know, and floods and all kinds of stuff. I mean, like I said, you know, growing up in Oklahoma, and I'm sure many of you grew up right here, you know, I never thought in a million years that earthquakes would actually even be, you know, in our vocabulary. You know, and it's interesting, you know, people are talking about Oklahoma, you know, talking about all the tornadoes and the floods and things like we're having. But the day before we started having that, we had an earthquake. You know, which, I mean, you know, that's just like crazy. And you can't blame that on global warming. You know, we might blame it on fracking and all kinds of other stuff that we've done. But you know, I never thought that we'd have earthquakes in Oklahoma. Never. I mean, you know, I thought, you know, might be out in California to have one. And it is interesting, you know, because, you know, we have the training college there in Tulsa. And so we bring people from around the country, you know, to Tulsa. And they're like, they get to experience their first earthquake, you know, sometimes. And it's amazing to hear, you know, what they say about their first earthquake. They never thought that they moved, you know. Everybody knows when you go to Oklahoma, you're in like Tornado Alley. And, you know, they knew that risk coming in. You know, they all rented Twister, you know, before they got here and stuff, you know. But nobody came to Oklahoma, you know, and thought about the earthquake movie. You know, they're like, oh, we're never going to have that. And, you know, and obviously we haven't had any earthquake that bad. But, you know, it is kind of scary when the ground starts shaking. You know, but then I thought about it is, you know, being a Christian, you know, we should get used to the ground shaking because, you know what, sometimes the Lord might need to shake up the place. Remember whenever Paul and Silas there were in jail at midnight, he sent a great earthquake to break him out of jail, you know. And so, but, you know, whatever happens, whatever storm, you know, happens, whether it's a physical storm or a financial storm or whatever, no storm should move you. No storm should shake you. No storm should make you afraid because the greater one lives on the inside of you. And we're going to make it through any storm. But and we have been given the authority to speak to our storm just like we can speak to a mountain. And we can command the storm to leave. We can command it to go. We have the same authority to say, peace, be still. Do you realize the same Holy Spirit that was with Jesus is also with you? He's with you. And it says the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of us. And we have the power and authority to speak to our storm. But you know what? The reason that we fear is because Jesus is saying, well, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Do you believe or do you not believe? Because that's the point. Do you believe you can speak to the storm? Now, many people don't believe because they don't realize that they've got to put their faith in God. Not in their words. I have no faith in my words, all right? You know, I can say a lot of words, but they're all hot air if they're not being backed up with any kind of situation. The thing about it is that God backs up your word. Because we have the word of God. And see, the words that we speak are the words that God, you know, that God spoke. You know, and basically all we're doing is following the example that Jesus gave us that we can speak to a storm or we can speak to a mountain or we can speak to whatever's in our way. Whatever is causing us not to get to the other side, we can speak to it. We have the power. We have the authority in the name of Jesus. But when we speak, we have to understand when we speak the word, then we have to stay in faith. You know, if we say, let's go to the other side and we get halfway there, we can't say, hey, we're going to drown. Yeah, but it seems like we're in the middle of a storm. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. Doesn't matter what it seems like. What matters is who is with you. Jesus will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's right there wherever you are. Even if you're in a tornado shelter, he's there with you too. All right? He's there with you in the bathtub. He's there with you in the closet. He's wherever you are. He's there. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't take precautions, okay? I'm not saying that you shouldn't, you know, we should be smart. I mean, you know, but the thing about it is we should all, while you're being smart, be speaking. Amen. You know, some people say, you know, well, I know a lot of people say, well pray for us. Pray for us. Well, you pray for yourself. You know, if you start doing some more speaking, you wouldn't need anybody to pray for you. Now, it is interesting because around my area, there are a lot of floods. And they actually did a City of Tulsa map of what was supposed to be flooded with the dam releasing, you know, what they were going to release. And it's interesting because it didn't happen. Now, I'm not in the area where it matters, so I'm not really that concerned about it. I'm concerned for other people, but I know some people have been speaking because what they said was going to happen didn't happen in some areas. You know, because I know my my oldest stepson, now his house is supposed to be fine, but to get into in or out of his house is not supposed to be fine, but you can drive in and out. You know, now they're releasing more water, so he, you know, he needs to confess more. I don't know what he needs to do. But in a lot of ways, he said, I don't even mind actually being hanging out in my house when the kid's not there. You know, it's actually more quiet. So, because he evacuated his wife and his kids for a couple of days, and you know, my stepson, he's a military guy, and he goes, I can live without electricity, without water. I got plenty of water here. I can live for a couple of weeks, and you know, I can make it. So. It was funny because him and three of his neighbors, you know, they all were going to rough it. They didn't get, you know, there's no water anywhere, so they all went to work and everything else. But so they just sent their kids away for a couple of days. So, but they are releasing some more water. But now, like I said, his house is not in danger, which is that's an awesome thing, you know. And so that's why he's not really that worried. You know, he don't care if he can get in his neighborhood or not. In fact, he said, you know, that way I don't have to go to work. So, you know, because. Good excuse, boss, I can't get there. That's when I come bring your boat over here to pick me up, you know. So anyway, but you know what? We have power to speak to our storm. You know, and I'm going to tell you, you know, here in Oklahoma, yeah, we do have a lot of physical storms, but you're going to have a lot of other storms that are more than physical. You're going to have financial storms. You're going to have, I mean, when I say you might have physical, I'm talking about physical in your own body, not coming at you. You know, but you can speak to all those storms the same way. All you got to do is believe. And remember, your faith is in God. Your responsibility is only to speak and believe God. Speak and believe God. You don't have to do anything yourself. All you have to do is speak and believe. Not doubt in your heart. Just believe. You know, and it doesn't matter how close. You know, and I mean, I saw a situation one time. It was interesting. It was when one of the hurricane hit, I think it was Galveston. And there was a whole neighborhood leveled, and there was one house standing in the whole neighborhood. You know what I said? I bet you that lady was a Christian. I mean, one house, and it looked like that house wasn't even touched. In fact, people were talking about that one house. I mean, how amazing it was that one house stood. You know, and it wasn't like their house is like superly built, special, and you know, anything. It's just amazing. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't other people who were Christians in that neighborhood, but I bet you that one woman was speaking. You know, and here's the thing, the storm still hit, but her house was safe. You know, and sometimes the storm hits and we're like, you know, and I know a lot of us are like, well, I don't want to go through any storms. Yeah, but the devil's still there to attack whether you want to go through storms or not. All right, Jesus told us 2,000 years ago, he was the devil was there to attack you. But you know, it also says in the word, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you want him to quit attacking, then resist him. How do you resist? You speak to it. You claim it. See, that's how you resist. I mean, I don't know how many times when it comes, especially physical situations, let's say, you know, everybody's getting the flu. I said, Mr. Devil, we are not going to get the flu at our house. You know, I talk to the devil a lot. I'm not sure. I guess got that from my dad. He always, that's how he was. And I'm like, you know, he can hear me and he has ears, you know, and you know, because I want him to understand what I believe. And I want him to understand, you know, I tell him he has no power, he has no authority in the name of Jesus. Because at that name, demons tremble, the Bible says. See, I know the authority that I have in the name of Jesus. And, you know, and I will say the other day, now last night it wasn't that big a deal, but the other morning I walked outside, you know, this is Oklahoma. You know, I know a lot of us have been outside watching tornadoes, okay? And if you haven't, I'm sure you have at some point in time. All right. I walked outside and it was a little eerie. So I began to speak. I mean, you know, I just, you know, the tornado sirens were going off anyway. I couldn't see anything because it was rain wrapped or whatever. I'm like, it was one of these eerie things. You know, but I didn't have fear. I just began to speak. I began to speak, you know, and, you know, nothing happened. Now, what if I didn't? I don't know. I mean, who knows? I don't know. But the point is, I'm going to take authority over my situation. I mean, you know, I take authority over my house, my kids' houses, you know, the Rhema properties. We take authority over what I have authority over. You know, but if you want to take authority, you have to take authority over what you have authority over, over your properties, over your houses. You know, I mean, I don't have any authority to do that. I mean, you know, we just hope that you do take authority. Speak to your own storm. You know, and watching the weatherman is not speaking to your storm. And I'm not saying you shouldn't watch the weatherman, you know. I'm not saying you shouldn't, you know, see what's happening. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, it is kind of bad because we, now, like I said, my son's a race car driver. We race all the time. But one of the things people like, there's races today, the Indy 500 was today. People like to watch races to see wrecks. You know, and sometimes I like to watch the weather. You know, I like to see the storm. In fact, remember when the barges that hit the dam? You know, there were Weber's Falls, you know, and there was a guy who wrote, and he's one of the guys who races with us. He's my age. And he said, you know, I thank God, you know, that dam held and things. He said, but the little boy on the inside of me kind of wanted to break. You know, and that's kind of, I mean, everybody, you know, kind of, in fact, the news station interviewed some little kid. And they asked the little kid, he was disappointed because it didn't break. and obviously people are thanking God it didn't break because it would have been devastating. But sometimes, you know, even when it's like storms, I mean, like the other day they're watching and one of the storm trackers, which, you know, is an occupation here in Oklahoma. He's like, you know, now it's 1:30 in the morning, you know, and, you know, we're binge watching the weatherman. The storm had gone way past where we were. And he says, I see a mile and a half tornado. And so he was, you know, on the ground, you know. And so they led him to the path and there was no debris anywhere. And so I don't know if he's a liar or what he was or whatever. But the interesting part about it is my wife is disappointed because there's no debris. Because you just said you saw a mile and a half tornado on the ground and you can't even show me a tree that's down. I mean, he was all mad calling this guy a liar. Said, I'm never going to believe this guy anymore ever. So it's interesting. So last night he was on the thing and, you know, so it didn't matter what he said. My wife said, it ain't happening. Whatever he said, he lies. Now you have to understand, it's 1:30 in the morning. What can you see anyway, you know, sometimes? So, you know, it's when they see power flashes and all these kind of things. And so, you know, the thing is that we have the power to speak to our own storms. And so we need to, and whether it's a physical storm, financial storm, emotional storm, whatever kind of storm it is, and you understand that Jesus is always with you. He's always in your boat. He's always right next to you as you speak. He's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. You're never by yourself. You're never alone. You know, actually, one of my first sermons I ever preached in my entire life was You're Never Home Alone, from the movie Home Alone, you know. You're never home alone. Your parents never leave. I mean, you know, your parents might leave you, but Jesus never will. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person here. And Father God, help us to understand that we have the power to speak to any kind of storm that comes our way, in any situation, whether it be a natural storm or a financial storm or emotional storm, that we have the power to speak. And Father, help us to understand that we can put our faith in God. We can put our faith into His power. And we thank you that to help us know who we are in Christ Jesus and help us to understand that Jesus, you're always with us and you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without knowing Him. If you happen to be here tonight and you say, Craig, I'm not saved or I want to rededicate my life to God, lift your hand, we want to pray with you. I believe everyone here is saved and, you know, but if anyone's here that needs to be saved or wants to rededicate their life to God, I want to give you the opportunity. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here. We thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you they won't be able to rest at all until they come to the saving knowledge of you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. Before we go, is there anyone here that needs healing in their body? Anybody need physical healing? Because if you do, I want you to come down here. I want to minister God's healing power to you. Anybody need healing? Anyone, I want to make sure I pray with you before we leave. Amen. Praise God, we're all healed, all set free. Amen. Don't forget to pray for mom and dad as they're there. And like I said, I don't know exactly when and where, or whatever. If you want to follow them, they're on Facebook. You can follow them on Facebook. And actually, they make their own Facebook sites. You know, most ministers, somebody else does their site. My parents do their own. So if you want to know what's going on in their life and what they're eating, they'll probably put it on Facebook, you know, the good and the bad, you know, because my dad's really picky eater. You know, sometimes I feel sorry for him when he travels overseas. And it's, you know, it's like, you know, he has weird taste or whatever. Now, a lot of people like French food, you know, with lots of, you know, lots of different. He don't like any kind. He does like normal gravy, like cream gravy, but he doesn't like any kind of wine sauce or béarnaise or any kind of stuff on his meat. You know, think about it. When you can't speak their language, it's hard to tell you no. Hard to tell them no. Even when you tell them, hey, I don't want none of this. They're like, who in the world would eat it like that anyway? So, you know. Now here, some people always ask you. They say, well, Craig, is there something you won't eat? I said, look at me. I pretty much eat anything. So, you know. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, yeah, I'm not that picky, all right? But my dad's picky, so I mean, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, now I was picky when we used to travel overseas when I was a little kid. We would bring a bunch of SpaghettiOs with us for me and my sister, all right? Because, you know, you can't find SpaghettiOs in Africa sometimes and in different places like that. But, you know, we would bring SpaghettiOs and we would then leave them with people. And we'd, you know, so some people ate SpaghettiOs for the first time, you know, when you come to visit. All right, amen. Well, the way we dismiss around here, I'll be back there to shake your hand. If you're a first-time visitor, I know we have a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you. You know, glad that you can come. Whenever you can come Sunday night, you're more than welcome to come. We got a little gift for you if you'll go, and with change, he'll give you a little gift. And like I said, we welcome you to come any time, all right? God bless you guys. I'll be back there to shake your hand. Have a great week, and speak to your storms.